Blog Talk Radio. Yeah.
All right. Praise the Lord, everybody. I come in greetings in the name of Jesus. My name is Elder Taylor with Praise Tabernacle Church, where our pastor is Bishop Omar Zachary. And we come in greetings in the name of Jesus for our Tuesday night Bible study. And I'd like to thank our leadership panel that's on with me tonight, Elder Victor Bluett, who's our Sunday school superintendent, and Evangelist Doug Stanton, who is one of our evangelists in the church. And I just say greetings to Elder Oliver and appreciate, again, another opportunity to be on with you tonight and all the work that you do with Praise Tabernacle Church. And we just want to get right into it tonight, and we want to talk about what's going on in the world right now. It's just so much that's going on. And I want to use some scriptures to kind of help us, to kind of encourage us, to try to inform us. And some of these scriptures may be elementary to some people and not to some others, but it's scriptures that speak for themselves. And it teaches us and tells us what we need to know. And if I was to use a topic tonight, it would be conduct and conflict. Our conduct within conflict. How do we act when we are conflicted? How do we respond to conflict? Whether it be spiritual or natural, what do we do? How do we? And I'm gonna ask Elder Bluett just to jump in there anytime something pop up you want to add to it. Understand? Anytime y'all wanted to jump in, just jump in. Say, Elder, I just want to add something. Just jump right in. If I don't give you, enough time or space, just jump right in and just add to whatever you would like to add. So, we want to go over to the book of Ephesians, the sixth chapter. And again, tonight we want to talk about our conduct inside of conflict. How do we react? How do we respond? How are we prepared to deal with conflict? Amen. So, Ephesians 6, starting with verse, and this is a letter that Paul had sent while he was in prison, I believe in Rome. Correct me, I believe if I'm wrong, but he was in prison in Rome, I believe, and he sent a letter to the Ephesians through I can never pronounce his name, Tychius, but he sent a letter to him, to the Ephesian church through him. And he's speaking to them about how do we conduct ourselves as a group of blood believers, brothers and sisters in arms. How do we conduct ourselves in conflict? In verse 10 in chapter 6, Ephesians 6, it reads, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might." Finally, let me repeat that. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Be strong. We know that what's going on in the world today, where we stand with the rioting and the looting and the peaceful protest and everything that's going on. Don't you believe? Well, let me put it like this. I believe, this is Elder Taylor's belief, that the enemy is enjoying himself. that the enemy is glad to see what he is seeing in the world today. Not just here in the United States, but all over the world. One incident triggered, I'm going to say just one, maybe because you had Breonna and Aubrey, those deaths too, triggered what's going on in the world today. But Paul is telling the Ephesians church, finally, my brother, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Now, that word wiles is cunning devices, tricks of the enemy, things that will trick you into doing stuff that's unseemly, things that the enemy can use to have you to do as a person, such as what we see going on all over this country. Be careful that the enemy don't find you sleeping and causes us to react in a way that's unseemly. Let's go back to verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Plain and simple. That means just what it says. There's no deep. You got to drill down into that. That means just what it says. It is plain as the ink that is written with in my Bible or on your tablet. That's what that means. You have to be able to stand against the tricks of the enemy. You have to, how you say, okay, how do I stand against the tricks of the enemy? You have to understand what the word says about your adversary. You have to understand how what the word says about what he wants to do. Amen? Because if you use a record scripture, if you can use John 10 and 10, it reads, the book of John, chapter 10, verse 10, it reads, that the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I come that ye may have life and have it more abundantly. So over in John, he's telling us that the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and destroy. Who is the thief? Who is the thief? The devil, the enemy. When you hear me say enemy, that's who I'm referencing the devil and all of his imps, all of his principalities, all of his wickedness, all of his hatred. And that's what we see, the principality of racism in high places right now. We see the principality of hatred running rampant throughout the land right now. How do we fight against these things? Do we go out and continue to tear up stuff? Because I heard somebody say that rioting is the voice of the unheard. Rioting, looting is the voice of the unheard. What happened to protest? Why does protest turn into rioting and looting? The enemy infiltrates situations and circumstances and makes them worse and turns them into things that we see that would work, people. See what we're seeing on TV now. Is the media, that's all they're showing us? Yeah, that's probably all they're showing. They're not showing us all the peaceful protesters going on. But all we see is the evil that they're projecting upon us, that we're watching. So going back to verse 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Verse 12, for we wrestle. Now this is what I like right here. I like this scripture right here. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, and against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We don't fight against flesh and blood. We have to understand that we have to spiritually warfare against things as a collective body of believers. Blood washed, Holy Ghost filled, saved, sanctified. And we have to understand this is where we go to warfare. Are there things that we can do physically? Sure. Yeah, there's some things that we can do physically, naturally. But the battle is not won in the natural, not just in the natural. The battle is won in the spirit because we war against things that we cannot see, things that we deal with, that we know, as verse 12 read, that things in high places, things in the heavenly, there's a war going on, and the battle is for our souls. And everyone that's dying, that's of the world, that's a lost soul. And that's a win for the enemy. So these people that's out here doing all these unseemly things, doing the things that can get them hurt, get them incarcerated, get all the things that they're doing, the enemy is loving it because it could cost somebody's life that don't belong to God. So we as a collective body of believers have to understand is that we have to pray, seek the face of God, press into Him. Tell any and everybody we can that will listen to us about the love of Jesus Christ. This is where our conduct has to be in the midst of conflict. We have to be strong. We have to stand firm in what we believe, not back down, and share the love of Jesus Christ, because only love, we hear this, only love can conquer hate. But we have to be in a position as a collective body of believers all over this world to sustain ourselves in this conflict and still be able to project the love of Jesus Christ in a time such as this. And if we don't, there's more souls, and that just means there's a win for the enemy. So we have to put on the whole armor of God. We have to put on everything that God has commanded us and telling us to do in this scripture right here. What Paul is telling you see in this letter. He says, finally, my brother, in verse 10. Finally. Let's go back over verse 12 again. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high, could high places mean in with positions of authority? Could that be what that means too? High places. Does that mean government? You know, could be. Could be. So we have to recognize what's going on. I believe that everything that we see that's going on right now in the world, whether it be COVID-19 or the what happened to George Floyd, what happened to Breonna Taylor, what happened to Aubrey, and everybody before them, I believe that there's a cycle that's been going on for thousands of years, way back even before Jesus, of this kind of principality running rampant throughout the land. There's been slave racism been going on for a long, long time. What are we doing come against it? To help fight. Because the enemy knows that he lost the war. But he's trying to win every little battle that he can to gain more souls that he can. And he would use any demon and any imp to infiltrate, to possess, or any person that he can to help through his work. And how do we fight that as a body of Christ? How do we? How do we come against this? It's okay to be mad. I told the lady at work, it's okay to be mad. It's okay to be upset. It's okay to be frustrated. But it's what we do with that. It's how we conduct ourselves in the conflict. All of this stuff has just infuriated me, upsets me the more. On both sides, seeing what we're doing to our own city throughout this country and seeing what happened to George Floyd and the other ones, and just the demonic look in that officer's face as he had his knee on that brother's neck. The look in his face, to me, just says demonic. He didn't have no remorse, didn't even care. That's what that looked like to me. So, what are we going to do? How are we going to conduct ourselves in this conflict? Or any other conflict, we have to go to, when we go to war, when I was in the military, I was in the military almost 10 years. And whenever we got ready to advocate a wartime situation, we had armor, we had gear we had to put on, natural gear that we had to put on. We played war games out in the desert of California. There was gear that we had to put on. I know Elder Blue can relate to this. We had a helmet, weapons, you know, the LB gear that we put on that carried canteens and ammo pouches and first aid kit and all that stuff. We prepared ourselves to go fight an enemy. Are we preparing ourselves now? Or are we just running and not saying anything, not praying about anything, just talking about it? You know, use the platform that we have through Jesus Christ to speak peacefully about it. Because the battle is not ours, it's the Lord. He's going to win. We just have to learn how to conduct ourselves in the midst of it. And tell any and everybody that would listen to come on to our side. Come over here. Don't let the enemy use you. Get healed. Get delivered. Get set free. Get filled with the Holy Ghost that the Lord can use you to draw others. He said, if you draw nigh unto me, I draw nigh unto you. So this is what we got to do. And I hope, you know, it may sound like I'm on a bandwagon a little bit, but there has to be a change somewhere. You know, I know we got to go through certain situations and certain circumstances we have to go through. But how do we go through that? How? How do we go through the things that we're dealing with? All right, let's go on. Moving on to 13, verse 13, Ephesians 6. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor, not just a little armor, not just part of the armor, the whole armor of who? Of God, that ye may be able to withstand, there you go, withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Wherefore unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. I don't know if the people that's listening consider these days evil, but I do. Can they be worse? Yeah, they can be worse. But these days are evil. Can we withstand this evil time? Can we hold on till Jesus comes back? Can we tell somebody, as we hold on to God's unchanging hand. Can we share what who he is, his love, his mercy, and his grace to somebody that may be lost during these evil days? But we have to be in position to do that. We have to be able to conduct ourselves within this conflict. All right?
Amen.
We're going in 13 into 14. Wherefore, take on to you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, verse 14, stand therefore, and having your loins girt about you with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. Being an example. Walking truth. Talking truth. The word is the truth. Gird yourself up. Get it up all around you. And then put on that breastplate of righteousness that you can walk, you can stand, you can walk heavy. I like saying you can walk heavy in the things of God. Make enemies tremble, make the devil tremble, make the demons tremble when they see you coming. Not because of you, who you are naturally, but they can see the spirit in you, the spirit of Christ heavy on you. Make them tremble. Make them show you respect because of who Jesus is in your life. We should be so powerful that we can call those things to be not as though they were. Not be afraid of what we're seeing, what's going on all around us. We can be smart in what we do, conduct ourselves, but not be fearful for what we see. Because I'm putting on the whole armor. I'm conducting myself within the conflict so that Jesus can use me. Anytime I get a chance to tell somebody about what I believe, who Jesus is and what he is and what's going on, I share it with them. Will everybody accept it? No. But the seed's been planted. It's been planted. It may get watered on down the line sometimes. It may not. But you're doing your part. I'm doing my part to spread the gospel so that this, the army of Jesus Christ, can grow. And we can come back to the enemy, because the enemy is busy. And if it ain't evident to us from what we see and what we know is going on, I don't know what you believe. But the enemy is busy. Why can't we get busy? Busier. Because the devil is busy. He's busy. And Blewett, Evangelist W, y'all would like to add anything? Share anything?
You're doing a good job. I think you had asked a question earlier. Let me see if I can think. I don't know if you asked the question of what do these things mean, or how we do this. I think it was in verse 11, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, for we wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities.
Right.
Against,
mm-hmm.
Huh?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. I asked the question is how you may ask the question, well, how do we fight against the enemy? How do we, you know, something we can't see? How do we do this? I believe that was the question that I asked.
Okay. So what I was thinking when you asked that, was this particular book Paul wrote while he was in prison, when he wrote this to the Ephesian church, it was more or less on Christians who were mature and not having to teach them, but remind them of spiritual things, how they should be in the spirit and guard themselves against evil spirits. So he's talking, sure, right now, closing his last chapter out. So these are things that we have, or should have, those of us who have been walking with Christ long enough should know that daily we ought to be in our word. Daily we ought to be in unity with one another to encourage one another. Daily we ought to recognize things that are against us, even if we can't even see them. So this particular book of Ephesians is more or less for mature Christians. But Paul is telling them how to defend themselves with the things they have already learned, and he's using metaphors. I'm sure you'll get to it here in a minute. Metaphors of the armor of God, as a soldier has on his body armor. So he's using an example of present time and that time in history where people can relate to what they should put their bodies and their minds. But that question that you asked was a good question, and I'm sure people may have been thinking, well, how do I put on the whole armor of God? What do you mean, the whole armor of God? And it's actually just covered in one word, and just a few words, three words. The word of God is the armor of God. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we can break that down as far as what the armor consists of, which you're going to get to here in a second. But it's the armor of God. It's the word of God. And if we would read our Bibles, if we would ask questions to our leaders, if we would be in unity with one another, that way we can share our faults with one another so we can build one another up. Because as men, I know as men, sometimes we're too humble. We're too scared to say, man, I don't know about this. I don't know about that. What do you think? Right. How can you help me? So the whole armor of God is built on the word of God, plus the unity and the love of the brothers and sisters coming together to break down that word so we can have an armor that can protect our whole body and mind. You know, the whole armor of God, just not just a helmet or a breastplate or a belt or shoes, but it protects our whole body spiritually, that when the wiles of the devil or the cunning craftiness of the devil or the tricks of the devil or, and I'll say this right there, and I get right back to you. I just want to say this. I just heard something. I read something. I don't know what it was, but it was how could the snake have gotten to Eve in the garden? Shouldn't he have seen the snake coming and should have been scared? And the answer is no. Because the devil camouflaged himself in the setting where snakes are. And that's what Paul is talking about, the wiles of the devil.
Right.
We might not necessarily recognize it by sight, but we would definitely recognize it by speech and actions. Mm-hmm. But you're doing a great job, doing great. That question just stood out, because this is a very hard book for a babe in Christ to just grab. But it's doing great, man. Appreciate it.
Well, and I also believe to ask you that about it being a mature book. And that's true, you know, and that's what we, as the mature ones, we have to be this way in order to gain the younger ones and to teach them as well. And that, because I believe time is running out, and I don't believe we got a whole bunch of time to make sure I say the right word here. We want to teach people, we want them to grow, you know, and mature. And,
yes, sir.
And I don't know how much time we got. I just feel like we don't have a lot of time, you know. And we got to get everybody that we can, and we got to get everybody that will listen to us, you know. But maybe that's a different subject. All right, let's go over to verse 15.
Elder, before you
go ahead.
Okay, before you go on, I just want to hit verse 10 real quick, where it says, "Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." That just tells me that we don't have to go on our own strength. Or, you know, we don't have to think about what it is that we need to do. We need to be, like Elder said, taking the word of God, being strengthened by it, and walk in his power. We're not walking in our own power. You know, I thank God for the Holy Ghost, because the Holy Ghost will direct and guide us and order our footsteps. So, you know, if we think we're doing it in our strength, then it's not going to be done like it's supposed to be done. We're supposed to do it in the strength of the Lord and his power.
That's right. That's right. Going into verse 15.
And always strong in Christ. Yes, sir. Go ahead. Go ahead, Elder. I'm sorry.
Go ahead. What'd you say, Elder?
No, I just brought something to my attention. When we, in that verse 10, finding my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. When we are weak, now God wants us to exercise what we have, what he has placed in us. But when we get to the point where we know or we understand we can't do no more, we got to rely on the power of God to see it through.
Right.
So we don't feel by our own strength. And of course, he gives us strength every day. We live and move and breathe because of him. But we still need to get out there. We still need to talk to folk. We still need to do as much as we can and still go a little bit further. And then that what we started out doing good, God will finish up in the end. But on his in his power, his might. And that should encourage us that we will never fail if we're doing it in his will. We'll never fail.
Amen. I mean, those are all very key points. And that's when we do it in his way and not our way, it can't go wrong. You know, if we need his strength, we need his power, we need his mercy, we need his grace. We need to stay humble in the midst of all of this, and show people that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life, and the only way that we're gonna get to God is through him. And so we have to, you know, and perpetuate that to people, that people can see, you know. There's a lady on my job that she said, I was talking to somebody and she walked by. She said, "Oh, don't be messing with my friend Richard, because you know he a preacher." And I looked at her because I didn't know she knew that. I never told her I would. And I thank God for that. I said, "God, give you glory." I don't know how Valerie knew. I didn't ask her. It didn't matter at that point. I'm glad she knew. So now whenever I can go to her, she already knows. But I don't know how she knew. I don't know who told her, because most people know that I am a minister of my job, you know. And so but I never told her. So I can give God glory for that, you know. So that was just a little nugget right there. Verse 15 going into verse 16. "And your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked." And like Elder Blue said, this is all encompasses the word of God, the shield, the shod your feet with preparation, the breastplate of righteousness. This is all the word of God. Encompass yourself within the word. Let it consume you, so that the fiery darts from the wicked will have nothing. They can be formed, but they will not prosper. And so when the young ones come along and we got to get people up to speed, we can share with them. And get them up to speed, because they're going to have to fight quick. They're going to have to fight early, I believe, in the spirit realm. Because this warfare is going on, and it's not waiting for you. Because, you know, when back during the Vietnam War, when I watched documentaries of it, when you know, these people who come, go to basic training, they get them right out of basic training and throw them right into the war. No time to do any warfare. I mean, no war game. You know, you going right into the war, straight from basic training. You ain't going to school. If you're in infantry, you're going straight from basic training. And basic training didn't teach you how to fight in the jungles of Vietnam. You're going straight from basic training over to Vietnam. Right into the fire, quick. We give you the basic stuff that you need, the uniform, the armor, the gear, and you're going straight to the war. You know, that went for everybody, but it was for a lot of them. A lot of them. Amen. So verse 17, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. There you go, out of the blue. The word of God. The word of God. Everything surrounds the word of God. And I believe His Holy Ghost gives His word power. The Holy Ghost gives the word power. And I believe we got to have it. We got to have it. You know, the enemy knows the word. You know, but what can we use against him that has more than he has? So this word is telling us, and we see. Let me see. Verse 18. We almost done. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the what? In the Spirit. And watching thereunto all with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And this is what Paul is saying, you know, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
Always praying. Always seeking His face. Always pressing in. Always getting to His face. Work on our behalf. And not be fearful to seek His face. Because when we don't know what to do, God does. When we don't know what to always say, He does. So if we're praying always, seeking His face, allowing Him to teach us through the Spirit, to guide us through the Spirit, I believe, and that helps us to conduct ourselves. Because I talk to people throughout my job a lot during the day, and people have all kind of different aspects of what their aspects of what they see and is going on in the world today. And none of them brought up Jesus' name. None of them don't have any correlation of this being a spiritual matter as well as a natural matter. Some don't believe or saying, I can't say that they don't believe, but none of them are saying that this could be a demonic-driven type incident that's going on in the world today. None of them are talking about, and maybe because they don't know. But that's where we come in, as a collective body of believers, to show them, to teach them. And some of them will receive it, as I said earlier, and some of them will not. We can't be fearful to talk to people. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, it says, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So we can't be fearful to do the things of God. We can't be fearful to conduct ourselves in this conflict. We have to stand on what we believe and stand firm, because now we got on the whole armor of God. We're praying all the time, and we can't be afraid to tell people of the things of God, the things of Jesus Christ, and hopefully to win their soul. Because everybody ain't going to heaven, but a lot of people going to hell. And if we don't share with them, especially during this times like this, you know, the enemy is just chopping it up. Check, check. Yep, that one gone. The Jesus folks, they ain't talking to this one. Check, that one gone. Yep, they scared. They want Jesus folks to even come over here and talk to this group of people about their God. Check, they gone. So he's winning these battles, and he's laughing at us, I believe, because a lot of us can be scared to reach out. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. You got to have the faith to walk in. Hebrews 11:1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. We got to stand firm. We got to stay faithful. We got to stay humble. We got to stay lovable. We got to stay peaceable. This is the conduct that we must have when we're in the midst of conflict. You understand that the whole armor of God is the word of God that encompasses it. You know, tell somebody so they can get this word too. Tell somebody that the word can encompass them just like it is you. Tell someone that they can be filled with the Holy Ghost just like you are, that can teach them all things. Give them, you know, so they don't have to be afraid of this world. Tell somebody else that they can be delivered like you've been delivered, like I've been delivered. It's a constant warfare. The Bible says it's constant warfare between the spirit and the flesh. Also, it says, what fellowship does darkness have with light? None. I've never been in a place where it was darkness and light going on at the same time. You go into a room, turn the light switch on, it's light, you turn it off, it's dark. Never seen half a room lit and half a room dark. They have no fellowship with each other. Fellowship with each other. All right, two more verses and we're done. And for me, that the utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, to make known the truth of the gospel. My Bible, the hidden truth, talks about that word mystery as the gospel. You know, and for me, the utterance, freedom of speech, may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly and to make known the mystery of the gospel. Not be afraid, speak boldly the truth of the gospel. That's where we got to be. Verse 20, last one. For which I am an ambassador in the bond, that therein I may speak boldly, I ought to speak. It's Paul saying it. For which I am an ambassador in the bond, in prison, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. He said, "Why he gonna speak boldly?" Paul is in prison, speaking boldly, writing bold letters to the churches in Asia, to all these different churches, and in prison, speaking and writing these things boldly, not concerned about his circumstance, but what the people need to hear throughout that land at that time. You know, so another question I would ask, are we just concerned about my four no more? Or are we concerned about what could happen to other people? Are we just concerned about what I'm just going to protect my family, and that's all I'm worried about? You know, let me read that verse over, verse 20. For which I am an ambassador in bond. Also, I'm ambassador in prison, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. As a man of God, I ought to speak boldly. As a woman of God, I ought to speak boldly, regardless of my circumstances or situation. I have to speak boldly. And this is what he wanted these people to understand. I have to. Can we do that today? Whoever is listening right now, can you do that? Can you speak boldly without fear, without doubt? See what's going on around you. Can you still spread the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because you're covered by the word. You're covered by the whole armor of the word. Everything is upon you. Everything you need as a believer. Blood. Wash. Believer. Can I do it? Can I talk to somebody that ain't got it yet? Can I help save somebody the wiles and the tricks of the enemy? Because the word has taught me as a believer what they can be. Can I share that with somebody else? So that they don't fall subject to these different things. So that when they can come on our side, we can train them, we can teach them, we can show them how to fight spiritual warfare against principalities and wickedness and of evil things in high places. Can we do that? Train them up. Train them up. Make them strong in the Lord. That the Lord can make them strong. Teach them, show them. So that we can have an army that can fight this wickedness that we can't see. You got to do it. You got to do it. And it's on me. It's on everybody that's listening. We all got to be able to do it. And not be, you want to take care of everything that you need to take care of. But we got to be able to spread the gospel to you. I'm going to close with that right there. And I want to just, anybody that's listening that's not saved or not sure if you're saved, want to know what it takes to be saved, to come on my team, come on the side of Jesus Christ. You know, it's very simple. Very simple. All you got to do is just confess with your mouth and believe that Jesus died and God rose him on the third day. And that you ask the Lord to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. Confess that you're a sinner. Lord, I'm a sinner. I recognize that I'm a sinner and I need to be saved. I ask that you come into my life. I recognize that you are the Son of the Most High God. I recognize that you died on the cross for my sins, and that on the third day, the Father, God, raised you. I recognize you, Lord, to be my King of Kings and my Lord of Lords, and to come into my life and save me. Prick this heart of stone, make it a heart of flesh, that I could serve you and walk after you. In Jesus' name. If you say that, if you said that along with me, consider yourself saved. Now you have to find you a good Bible teaching church. I know it's kind of hard right now, but find you a good pastor that loves the Lord, teaches the truth through the gospel of this Bible, and learn if you can as fast as you can, as Jesus gives it to you. Amen. Amen. That is all. That is all. I'm going to ask Vandy Dove if she'll come and do our offertory appeal, and then Well, after that, we just want to turn it over to back over to Derek Oliver. Amen.
Okay.
Before you do that, Imagine Elder Blue, did you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, you
already closed
out. You
better
keep it moving.
Okay,
Evangelist. Amen. Thank you, Elder, for that awesome Bible study. You really gave us some food for thought. Whose side are we on? So at this time, we would like to give an offertory appeal to anyone who would like to give to the ministry. Tonight, you can give one of two ways. You can give by Cash App, which is PTC877. Once again, that's P as in praise, T as in tabernacle, C as in church, 877. Or if you would like to give by debit card, credit card, or PayPal, you can give our office a call at 678-760-6056. Once again, that's 678-760-6056. And we thank everyone for joining us on tonight. We pray that you were blessed and that you got a word. And we're going to turn it over to Elder Oliver.
I just want to thank you for the Bible study, Praise Tabernacle, and we just want to say it was a good word, a good lesson. We hope everyone got something out of the word tonight. And with that being said, we're going to go ahead and close out. So I'm going to ask Elder Taylor, you want us to close us out in prayer, and we can be out.
All right, all right. Well, God, we thank you for this opportunity tonight. We pray that your word will have free course. And we give you glory and honor, and we thank you for everything that you've done, that you've said throughout the Bible study tonight. We pray moving forward, Lord God, that we will always consider you who you are to us and in our life. And we just say thank you, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. We can never thank you enough for who you are and what you are in our lives, Lord God. We pray that all that listen, everyone that needed a healing, Lord God, we pray that you heal them, everyone that needs deliverance, that you bring deliverance to their lives, that you touch every situation, every circumstance of any and everybody that was listening tonight and their families, Lord God. And we give you glory, and we give you honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. I will see you guys on Friday night service, 7 p.m. We'll be back.
All right.
Praise Tabernacle Church. All right. Y'all have a good night.
Good night.